Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are going to be airing this, I believe, November the 10th. It'll be Monday, November the 10th. And
good morning.
November, Thanksgiving coming up. So it'll be fun.
And you are back in New Hampshire again.
We are back doing retreats. So we've got an elective. We've invited a group of millennial Gen Zs to talk about how do we reach that market. Because they learn
different. That's going to be a fun retreat, I think.
The way that they tend to receive messages, and of course, it, interesting enough, no matter who we are, there's no shortcut to abiding and spending time with God. The biggest danger I see, and this is particularly amongst young people because they're so tech savvy, is I think it's easy for believers to move to a place of using, chat GTP as well as, Jesus AI or whatever, and that it's going to be something that they'll have a tendency to use because it's easy and short circuit the abiding. Because remember, abiding is relationship.
Right.
So that, I mean, think about if, interesting enough, I've had a person, we were talking about this whole thing and the person admitted, they said that their right now their biggest relationship is with chat GPT.
Oh, goodness.
That particularly because the technology is you can talk to it and it'll talk back to you. So you ask questions and get answers, et cetera. And in the day of immediacy, I can get immediate answers. And, ChatGPT is quite efficient, by the way, in synthesizing all this information, saying, okay, here's an answer. And it sounds right, and so the problem is that it's very useful for information, but it's anti developing relationship.
Right.
And then letting God take you through the ask, seek, and knock process and discovery and understanding his will, which he says, daily deny self, take up the cross and follow me, which means I'm walking with him as opposed to, I'll ask you a few questions, give it to me and I'll see you later. So I think that's going to be the interesting discussion we're going to have at the Gen Z retreat will be, where is the technology driving everything to them and how do we bring them back to the truth? Because again, the Bible stands on its own and regardless of the ability of the technology, God said there's no substitute for walking with me.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear their responses because I've also lately been reading some articles about Gen Z of all of the ones, they are the ones who have grown up on the social media and all of the tech stuff, right? And they're the ones right now that a lot of research is showing they're actually craving a return to pre-technology days. Like I think they're beginning to see the links with the anxiety and beginning to see missing the personal relationships. And so it'll be interesting to see if God stirs that in them as a way to bring them back to just abiding with him. Because there is, I sent you that article, there is just an incredible movement happening in that generation right now and on college campuses right now. And boy, God is doing a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be the good news is that if there is a true interest because of the truth of it, really, because God wants to touch our souls. And it requires that intimacy and that time with each other and then with God. Because we're going to discuss how can Abide Ministries touch that and develop the opportunity for them to learn what it really means to abide and walk with God. Because that he said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So how do we, and I believe there is that hunger. And I believe if we can show them the value and beauty of that. I think they'll respond to it. And by the way, we pray for every generation that they would respond to it. But it'll be interesting on that one. We've been talking about forgiveness, reconciliation, and we've spent some time kind of setting it up is, you know, why is there unforgiveness? And, you know, two big reasons. One is that we confuse it with reconciliation. Mm-hmm. If I forgive somebody, then I'm allowing them to get away with it, basically.
Right.
Because the original offense is they crossed the line of justice and have done something against me, which is harmful in some way. And I'm angry. I'm rightfully angry about that. God built that within us is that, you know, because particularly as if you have the Holy Spirit, he said, I delight in and I live by justice. And there will be people who will cross that line because of self-centeredness and the world. So he said, it's going to happen to you all the time. The question is, well, if I forgive them, then aren't they getting away with it and maybe keep doing what they're doing against me? You know, and God said, no, two separate things. Forgiveness is a heart thing between me and you so that you have freedom.
Right.
And then I'll give you, and we'll get into this, how to have wisdom to process through to reconciliation, which, by the way, may mean you won't be reconciled because the other, right. it takes two parties. So that's number one. And then two is the frequency of the hurt that's happening to me. So, you know, if you know, you're on a highway and you get cut off by somebody, yeah, it kind of makes you mad and you get a little bit frustrated at the moment, but it's kind of what I call a minimal offense. And I'm never going to see that person ever again anyway. So God would say, you know, just let it go.
Right.
Don't let that bother you. But if you have people around you, that family, business associates, small groups, church people that really do something against you because of their self-centeredness, and then depends on how deep is that offense and how frequent is that offense.
Right.
So the deeper and the more often, it just seems like it's hard to get through that. And then, of course, we talked about that. What happens is that we develop what's called a root of bitterness. And I say operate at a low level infection where I'm always kind of carrying that heaviness.
Right.
Particularly if I got to see him or be aware of him. And God says, well, the first thing before we get to reconciliation is, he said, you and me, God speaking, I need to give you my heart so that you live my heart in life. And that is what? I've already forgiven him. Once and for all. See, I've already forgiven him. Now, keep remembering, he forgave everybody at the cross, but he hasn't reconciled with everybody at the cross.
Right.
Okay, now, why hasn't he reconciled with everybody at the cross?
Because that's a two-way street. We have to engage in that process.
Yeah.
And not everybody has.
No. And he says, so I invite people because of forgiveness. I've taken away the requirement to be perfect, which would be holiness. And because I stepped in on my own love and own nature of forgiveness, I forgave everybody in the world for all time. Well, he did it once and for all. So in other words, I don't have to keep doing it. I did it once and for all. I'm in you, and I want you to be in the same position I'm in, which is forgive them. And then understand reconciliation is a different thing as I do, you know, God speaking. Again, why aren't they all reconciled? Because they have to process the truth that I require a resolution. You provided that resolution, and now I have to process that resolution. And so I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and then I get to have eternal life with you. And he says, I can't alter the truth of that. So if they don't come to that point, they will spend eternity separated from me because I can't alter that truth. Now, by the way, the church right now is kind of trying to alter that truth because they're saying there's lots of ways to God and God is love and you'll still be accepted. And Jesus says, no, I'm the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, period. And you must believe it to have it. So what we're talking about here in these next few days is going to be not about reconciliation. It's about the essence of forgiveness so that the question is really simple. Do you have unforgiveness towards somebody or something that has offended you? And it's pretty simple to know the answer to that. And it's number one, do I think about it often? And I think about the offense, and I do think about it often, one. Number two, when I'm in their presence or on a phone call or somebody mentions their name, does it rile something up in me?
Right.
And I get a little bit edgy of, you know, pull back of this still bothers me and I'm having a hard time. And by the way, I would rather not be with that person.
Mm, right.
And then number three is the true final forgiveness is that I actually could pray that they come to their senses mm-hmm. for their own benefit and process through what they've done to me so they could have a greater and beautiful, more life with God. If I can do that, that means I've already forgiven them. And number four would be if they said I'd like to talk to me, I could talk to them with honor and respect and not get into my negative energy or my harshness or my accusation other than you've offended me and I want to talk about it. So it's kind of easy to know either you do or you right. don't. And most people kind of know that. So we're saying, and see, God doesn't say you should stuff it.
Right.
That, well, you shouldn't feel that way. So I'll try not to. I'm going to try to forgive. He just says, well, have you forgiven him?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. He said, okay, that's okay. They deserve your wrath, but let me give you forgiveness. So we want to talk about what does that look like on the forgiveness side. So first of all, let's go to Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, and then verse 7.
Sure. Says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption.
Yep. Okay, so he says, if you if you kept score, mm-hmm. And we were going to have a relationship based on that score, basically it says what? There's no shot.
That right.
Who could stand? In other words, we all deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did it that way and you kept the offense against us, we'd have no shot. We couldn't stand before you. There'd be no right. ability to do it. So he said, but with you is abundant mercy. Mercy, their word being loyal to the covenant and redemption. Redemption is forgiveness, which means I've already paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offering you, you know, think of redemption and the, you know, the word that we are probably familiar with is that in certain states, I think even in New Hampshire, you can redeem like bottles
mm-hmm.
and get, you know, 10 cents back,
right.
you know, and you redeem it. You give them the bottle and they give you 10 cents. And God says, well, I've already paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
It's available for you. All you have to do is come and exchange it and I'll give you my life, which is the, you know, the reconciliation part. But he said, I've done the first part of it, which is redemption. So if you think about then what he's saying is, what did you deserve? My wrath.
Right.
What did I do? On my own nature, mm-hmm. I forgave you to give you the opportunity for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be in that same spot. Does a person who harmed you deserve your wrath? Yes. If nothing happens, what shot is there toward reconciliation? See, none.
None, right.
So he said, this is about your heart of freedom mm-hmm. to get to the point where you could be a vessel for reconciliation as I so lead you to be able to offer that to them. Now, a lot of times they're not going to receive it. But it's only because of their choice, and I'll show you what to do with that. But you always stay in forgiveness, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because of my nature, I've given them redemption. Okay, then turn over to Psalm 103 and read verses, I think it's 8 to 12.
Sure. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Okay. So again, his nature is that, you know, we deserve it, but what has he done?
He's forgiven us.
That, again, the forgiveness is when I, and God says, when I forgive you, have forgiven you, it doesn't mean that you're in relationship with me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I only gave you the opportunity to have a relationship.
It's kind of like having a coupon at the store.
Yeah.
Right? You can hold that coupon all you want, but until you turn it in and redeem it, you don't get any value from it.
That's right. That's a kind of a simple analogy, is that it's available to you. And so, okay, so let's look at then what forgiveness really is that, and it says this in Colossians, that he removed the requirement that was against us that would have kept us never having a relationship.
Right.
He said, why? Well, and we'll talk about this tomorrow about holiness, is that holiness can't touch unholiness. So because of your sin nature, self-centeredness, there's no shot. No matter what you do, you couldn't earn your way back to that relationship. So he said, I took care of the problem and I removed the requirement to be perfect and you to do something. I just need you to receive and believe it.
And
we have to process the truth. So in our relationships, when you go to forgiveness, what you do, it's interesting, is that you remove the requirement that they have to do anything per se. Now, we do know that there's something left to do, but fundamentally, I've forgiven them because Christ has forgiven them. I'm in the same spot as him. His nature is operating in me. They have been forgiven by God already because of one time at the cross. I'm joining that place. And if they do nothing else, I can still live in freedom because I'm not developing any root of bitterness, any heaviness.
Right.
I'm free of it. And I now have the opportunity. How do I process reconciliation with an opportunity with honor and respect to invite them to process the truth and give them that chance? So I'm not going to demand that they do it. They don't have to be reconciled in order for me to forgive. It's a two-step process. You can't even reconcile unless you go to forgiveness. Because it won't be true reconciliation.
Right.
And God says, see, I care about your heart. I will resolve every relationship you got so that you don't carry any burden about that relationship. And if you think of life, what's the most difficult thing we have in life all the time? Relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, why?
They're messy. Because you're dealing with self-centered people and we're self-centered people.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, you can't get away from it. And he said, this is such a critical thing for your own freedom is to have this understanding of forgiveness is that I'm good. My heart is free, God, and I don't have any unforgiveness. And now with that freedom, what would you like me to do in terms of toward reconciliation? Which, by the way, sometimes isn't don't even bother because they're not going to.
Right.
Okay. So then he'll tell you what to do with that. Don't let it burden you anymore. And we know there's tricky situations with, that's easy to say, but I got to be around my family.
Right. And the holidays are coming, so this is timely.
I got some tough stuff coming up, you know, and the guy says, yeah, I know. I'll show you what that looks like. I can solve it. I'll resolve it for you so that you stay in peace around self-centered people. Mm-hmm. But the key is it starts with joining me, what I've already done, which is forgive them. And you can have freedom. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make it really clear what you've done and the opportunity we have to join you in that same place that you've already forgiven them. We pray for these very difficult scenarios, deep hurts, frequent hurts, things that are just always coming against us. And we've had a hard time with it. And we understand that. And so you just pray, well, let me give you forgiveness so that we can then move to the next stage, which will be how to reconcile or at least offer reconciliation and let it become together. And so we pray that we'll really dive into the depth of this and not neglect any further that we have roots of bitterness or we have hardness and you want to free us up. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. This is so timely, especially like we said, coming into the holidays. Talking about forgiveness, but when you're feeling that stirring, if even as we talk today, God highlighted in your heart, there's something, pay attention to that, press in, allow him to walk you into healing. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.